Earlier today, I met with local business leaders about their outlook for the for their operations. Met with some local bankers to hear their perspectives. And then I just came out of a meeting with on workforce development issues, facilitated by our community development function at the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. Just really trying to get a sense of where are the areas for improvement in workforce development areas here in Winona. And then later this evening, as I talked about, we'll be doing our public town hall. It's very typical of the kind of day we like to do when we go out in the district, and I think it's been very, very productive for us. So with that, I'll turn things over to you for your any questions you might have.
You mentioned one of the things that you try to do is get this better picture of the outlook. Talk to us a little bit about what you see coming in this area.
Oh, in this area, you know, I think the story for the 9th District, maybe Minnesota in particular, has been one of being ahead of the curve in terms of the recovery all throughout. Our unemployment rate here in the state peaked at around 8.4% in the summer of 2009, whereas nationally we were all the way up to 10. Nationally, now the unemployment rate's down about 5.5%. Here in the state, we're down below 4. Winona's unemployment here is even lower than that. I think it's. I think we're going to see continued improvement here, but you know, there's, it's you're starting to run up against different kinds of challenges than what we faced 4 or 5 years ago, and people talking about labor shortages as opposed to where am I going to find, as opposed to concerns about finding customers, right? So I think that I think those challenges are likely to persist for some time to come. What I was very interested in getting a handle on by talking to business leaders is what kind of wage pressures are they seeing from having such a low unemployment rate, and how, if at all, that might translate into pricing pressures. Because that's, for us, is making monetary policy, one of the things that we're trying to achieve is maintaining inflation close to 2%. Right now, inflation is running well below that. But we have to keep our eye on the ball to see if inflation starts to push up closer to that target.
I noticed they had a link to something that you'd written that I thought was pretty interesting about why you travel up around. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned your district goes quite a bit to the west, North Dakota, and there are a big oil boom out there. I thought that was kind of interesting because I have heard about that. But in this area, we've got frac sand and another part of it, which isn't exactly related to, it is oil industry, obviously, but not the same type of things going on out there in North Dakota. But that is really booming out there. Do you think that's going to last? Because you've mentioned in the past, it's disappeared rather quickly.
Well, I think, you know, these are questions that people in North Dakota are asking themselves right now. The price of oil has fallen very sharply. Over the past, I want to say since June or so of last year, come down very sharply. And, you know, I think that has had an impact on the level of activity out there in terms of new drilling in particular, not so much ongoing extraction, but more new drilling. You know, how that unfolds going forward is going to really depend on how persistent this decline in the price of oil proves to be. And I think people are, you know, I think there. I just was out of Bismarck, North Dakota, last week, and I think there remains a good sense of optimism among North Dakota business leaders about where they see things unfolding. But it really does depend on how the price of oil unfolds, and there's upside risk and downside risk to that story. You know, people tend to think, boy, the oil prices have fallen a lot, so there's no way they can go any further. But the fact is, given where they are, they could either go up or they could go down. And so there's both upside and downside risk from where we are.
Can you talk a bit about the Fed's effort to promote economic development on Indian reservations and that initiative?
So, you know, it's just part of our general community development operations. And, you know, this is a space in which we're a facilitator and a convener and an analyst. It's not like we are providing funds to anybody. But I think we've been, having said that, I think we've been very effective in that area, especially at the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. So I would just describe the 9th District. There's a lot of Indian reservations on in that area. And over the past 20 years or so, we've done a lot of work in Indian country. Two areas that I think we've been very effective on are helping to facilitate the formation of Indian business alliances that I think are helpful in fostering small business development on the reservation. And also talking to the tribes about ways in which they can improve property law on the reservations, and in particular secure transactions law. And I think we've done a good job in trying to facilitate those that kind of adoption of those kinds of legal principles on certain reservations. A lot more room for areas of improvement there. What we're planning to do this year is open a Center for Indian Country Development at the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. We plan this to be really a center for a bunch of community development operations within the Federal Reserve and more broadly really thinking about analysis, convening, and research of various kinds, I think, to help in this area.
And how will it work with what reservations are already doing?
You know, it's just going to depend on the context. And, everything here is, you're not going to be successful in this area without it being absolutely collaborative. And that's what we found in our work on Indian business alliances. It's all about collaboration. Really being a catalyst for bringing people together as opposed to anything else. Same is true on the secure transactions law piece. This is about tribes changing their laws within their own reservations and help try and provide guidance as best we can on how to do that in an effective way. So this is really all about collaboration with what's going on.
Mentioned you met earlier today with local leaders here business-wise. Did they have any specific ideas or concerns? We do have a lot. I've only been here 8 years or so, but I know it's got an incredible amount of homegrown businesses that are like not just national companies, they're international. I think we just had Fastenal had their earnings report this morning. We did a story on. It's just incredible. They're certainly not the only one, but I don't know whether they were involved with that, but other community leaders.
I think the general comments I would say are two. You know, one is that definitely not surprisingly, given how low the unemployment rate is, heard concerns about, boy, how hard it is to find workers. You know, that's something that you definitely hear. But then I think, and this is an important lesson for us as monetary policymakers. Despite how low the unemployment rate is and how strong the economy seems here in Minnesota and Winona more specifically, a lot of expressions of uncertainties, concerns about risks as we move forward. And this is not so much here specific to the local economy, but as you just said, these are businesses that have a national footprint, an international footprint. And they are concerns about risks they see out there in that space in which they compete, and that's something we've heard throughout from Minnesota in this recovery, is that the level of uncertainty about how things are going to unfold going forward is much higher than you would expect given how strong the economy is, and that matters for the firm's willingness to hire new workers, pay higher wages, and to grow their operations. I think this is a key reason why the recovery's been as slow as it has in Minnesota, but even more nationally, as I talked about.
This may be a dumb question, and I could have a lot of dumb questions because I don't know that much about the Federal Reserve, to be honest, but does it make any difference at all to the Federal Reserve in your district or in any of the districts who's in the White House? Because we're just getting inundated by both sides now, people declaring this past week and the weekend. Does it make any difference at all?
No, we're absolutely strongly, one of the key principles is absolute political neutrality. So, you know, it doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter the operation of okay. the Federal Reserve. No.
Okay.
We'll be able to work effectively no matter who is in the White House.
If we could spread that message around, that might be helpful all the way around. But that's not part of your role, so I get it.
And I apologize, I was late here, so I don't know if you've already covered some of this. But as you were talking about the recovery, I'm from Rochester at the Post Bulletin. And where you're talking about the uncertainty, Rochester seems to be an otter duck, and I don't know how familiar with it, but with our whole push with Mayo Clinic and Destination Medical Center, we've got a lot of certainty. We've got a lot of development happening there without a lot of reality yet. It's following a lot of hype, and I guess I didn't know if you had a take on that at this point.
Yeah, I think that... without commenting too specifically on what's happening in Rochester, if you had to do, you know, forecasting is tough, especially about the future, and especially as you go further out in the future. Sure. But you just look at the demographics of how things are unfolding. Mm-hmm. There seems like there's going to be demand for healthcare services, and from what I'm hearing about what's going on in Rochester, when I talk to people in that area, it seems like there's Rochester perceives that as being leaders in Rochester perceive that as being in a space in which they're going to be able to capitalize.
Sure.
And it's as reasonable a forecast as any, but mm-hmm. but any forecast has risks associated with it. And I would say that you never really know for sure in life, but certainly if you're going to forecast based on demographics, that seems to be demand for healthcare services seems like a place we're going to be going in this country just because of the aging of the population.
Sure. I have a follow-up on the issue of the Center for Indian Country Development. Why did it take so long to do something like this?
Oh, I think that it's just a matter of having the right team in place, really, in the right level of engagement from those people. So that, I think that's, you know, it's always just about people at the end of the day.
And is there a timeline for that? Is it this year, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're basically in the process of hiring. We have one co-director appointed, Sue Woodrow, who's been one of the leaders of the Federal Reserve Bank Minneapolis's operations in this area for many years. And we're going to be in the process of looking to find a second co-director later this year.
You've spoken publicly about your views on the Fed raising interest rates. Can you address that here?
Sure. More than happy to. Any kind of human endeavor, you want to have goals. And that's what you make decisions framed by your objectives. And making monetary policy in the United States is framed by the objectives that Congress has set for us in that area. And that's we're supposed to make monetary policy to promote price stability, which means keeping inflation close to 2%, and to promote max employment. I think that we have room for improvement in both dimensions. The fraction of people who have a job in the United States, even if we look at those people who are typically considered prime age for being in the labor force and being in the workforce, age 25 to 54, remains very suppressed compared to where it was before the onset of the Great Recession in 2007. We saw a very strong improvement in the labor market in 2014. We should be trying to facilitate ongoing improvement in that area. Inflation, we talked about it, remains low relative to 2%. I don't foresee it coming back to 2% until in a sustainable way until 2018, 3 years from now. So I think that given the outlook for employment is low relative to what I think should be our objectives for the next 3 years, outlook for inflation is low relative to our objectives for the next 3 years. That argues in favor of keeping interest rates in their current accommodative stance in order to continue to facilitate as rapid a recovery to our goals as we can.